You're listening to the Valley Vegas Church Podcast. Valley Vegas is located at 4500 West Sahara Avenue in the heart of Las Vegas. For more information and to get connected with us, visit valleyvegas.org. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Good afternoon. Good to see you. I want to say hello to you that are watching online, probably a bigger audience today because of the whole coronavirus thing, and besides just the allergies, and I've got a cold, not coronavirus, don't worry. I got to get in my head. I cannot keep up like I did when I was younger. We just got back from vacation with my grandkids, and in my mind, I can keep up with them, and we wake up and we're going hard all day, and then I come back after 4 days vacation sick every time saying, why am I sick? Well, you're trying to act like you're 30 years old when you're a lot older than that. So I got to slow down, but I'll get through here today. I'm drinking my coffee. I want to talk to you today about our discipleship model and our plan that we have for you here at Valley Vegas. We do have a plan here for you to grow spiritually, and that plan is a very simple one, but there's three things that we believe in, and we call it the ABCs. Jim, I'm going to ask you to close that door back there. I'm getting distracted by the people that are back there. Thank you. The ABCs, that's something simple for me. And here it is. Learn your ABCs. The A stands for attend church regularly. And we've talked about that before. If we can get you committed to making church a priority, again, I'm preaching to the choir because you're here, then we feel like you're on a good path. A lot of folks don't view church as a priority. It's like, oh, I'll come to church, you know, once every 5 or 6 weeks. You watching online, glad you can watch online. A lot of you using wisdom not coming here because of being sick or vulnerable to the virus. So I'm not condemning you. But what I am saying to anybody that is thinking that they can just watch a sermon online in replacement of church, that's not correct. That's not accurate. There's something that when you come here in person that is different than watching a sermon online. So let's make that very clear. But I'm glad we have you online. It's a great option if you can catch a sermon, if you can't make it out of town, sick, whatever. It's awesome, but it's not replacement for church. So we want you to come here. Of course, coming here, attending church means that you're also, we're assuming, reading your Bibles and listening to worship music and praying, all those things. The B in our ABC stands for belong to a life group. We want you to connect with other people. This is great what we're doing right now. There's a dynamic when we all meet together in our large church setting and worship together. It's awesome. It's great. Hear a sermon. But there's also something very special when you get in smaller groups, 8 to 12 people, where you study together, you talk about God together, you build relationships. That is so important to your spiritual growth. So we are encouraging you to get involved in a life group here at Valley Vegas. And then the C stands for commit to serving or volunteering, and that's what we're going to focus on today. Now, I had this message in the hopper for the last 6 weeks before the coronavirus pandemic, before it hit us. And but I think the timing is divine as I talk about that serving aspect. But before I do, let me talk a little bit about this situation facing our country right now. Some things to think about, okay? Here are just some things to think about. I'm not going to get up here and tell you exactly how you should respond, but here's just some guidelines. Number one, during this time, be wise, but not fearful. That's what I could say to you. Be wise, but not fearful. Wise in the fact of just do the things, obviously, that everybody's telling you. Wash your hands, and if you're in the vulnerable population, be extra careful because you're more vulnerable to get things. Be wise, but don't be fearful. In fact, being fearful sometimes can lead you like this. Look at poor Rocky Balboa here. Look what happened to Rocky. Yo, Adrian, I got her some toilet paper. That's not too far from being accurate. There are people, my wife came back, I cannot believe the store. She went to the store last couple of days and turned around at one, she said, I couldn't even find a parking spot. Went in the other one and said, it looked like we're in Russia, like a third world country. Nothing on the shelves. And people mad and angry. And one guy had his shopping cart full of water. Another one had full of toilet paper and all these things. And just panicking. See, fear creates panic that robs our faith and causes us to make wrong decisions. It angers me. I'm just going to be honest with you. It angers me. When people go out, whether they're panicked mode or whether they're just thinking of themselves first and go out there and buy, you know, 10 years worth of toilet paper or 5 years worth of rice and beans and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, I'm taking care of it. Well, yeah, that's great for you. Good for you. You got plenty of toilet paper. You got plenty of rice and beans. But what about my mom? True, in California, no family there. And in bad health, what is she going to do? When she goes to the store and says, "There's all the stuff I need is not there." You got your stuff, but what about her? That's selfish. Makes me mad when people do that. I'm not saying not be wise. Buy some extra stuff. That's fine. Vicky, we couldn't get any toilet paper. We didn't have. We came back from vacation. We didn't have nothing in the house. So she went out, couldn't get any, and then one of the gals here works at Trader Joe's. Hey, I got some for you, and pulled some out and asked Vicky, hey, you want the case? No, I don't want the case. I just want a pack. I want to leave some for the other people. I just want a pack. Now, that's wisdom is getting us some toilet paper because we got 5 years worth of rice and beans. Got to have. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to need some of that. That's wisdom. Get some things. But it's not panic where you're buying more than you need, leaving other people short. See what I'm saying? That's wrong. And that's what's creating, that's what makes me mad now, is that we've got all these people that are, I think, are pressing the panic button too much. Again, I'm saying being wise. Be wise in this thing. Let's be prudent. I agree with a lot of things doing, but when panic sets in, now it creates another whole mess. We got people losing jobs and everything. So I want you to know this. Philippians 2:4 says this: do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Yes, be wise. Yes, be wise. But the second point and thing I want to talk about before I get on my message in this coronavirus thing is stay on mission. Stay on mission. What is our mission? Our mission has not changed, and that is that we put the kingdom of God first. Jesus says the greatest in the kingdom of God is a servant of all. Keep your servant's heart and attitude during this time. Do not fall into that panic, self-preservation first, hoarding first. Do not fall into that. That's not what Christians do. All throughout history, you do a study on it one time, you'll see when these epidemics came down, when disaster came down, when war came down, you know who was leading the brigade to help those in need? The church. At oftentimes the great risk to themselves, exposure oftentimes, or personal loss, but the church led it. We want to continue to be the church during this time. And we will. I can't speak for other churches. I can speak for this church. I promise you, Valley Vegas will be there for our people, and they'll be there for this city. I promise you that. I don't care what it takes. We're going to take care of our people. There's some people that have lost their jobs. We're going to work with them. We're going to help them to how we can help them. We're going to make sure that everybody gets through this time together. We're going to stay on mission. Get off my soapbox now. I got to be careful with my voice. I'm nursing a cold, so I got to kind of talk real monotone today. I get too fired up and start coughing on you. One of the ways that we can stay on mission is to continue to do the things that we've been doing. And if you're new here, you may not know that we have a school over in Africa that we support. It is a very poor school in one of the poorest nations in Africa, in one of the poorest neighborhoods in Africa. And we've been doing that for a number of years now. And so we haven't talked about it in a while. And I want to introduce that to some of you and reintroduce it to others of you and let you know what's taking place over there. So would you welcome out a man who loves Africa, who's given his heart and soul and blood and sweat and tears to it. Honor this man, would you? Bob Robertson. Bob, have you got your calculator out yet? How many times you've been to Africa?
Close to 40. I don't know if this is on. Is it on?
Hello. Yes, it's on. I've been going since 1995, so last count was about 40-ish.
40 times. And You and I went there on the very first time over to Africa. We were looking for a ministry. Pastor Jim had a heart for it, and we found the school over there. Let them know a little bit about this school, about the school that we support over there.
Well, when we first went there, we saw that a pastor and his wife were taking kids off the street. And they told me they first started bringing them into their own home. And it got so crowded, then they asked the church if they could bring them into the church. And then they did that. And then a donor saw all these kids. And then they built a small school for them. And so when we got there, there were about 200 kids in the school, and their donors had just left. And we thought it was such a wonderful work that we said, we're with you. So this was in 2009. And now they have about 500 kids. And, you know, the first time we got there, they were cooking outdoors. They didn't have running water. Their donor had built them bathrooms, but there was no water, so they couldn't use the bathroom. So they had a latrine for all these kids. And I remember Pastor Doug, it broke his heart. It was like, what? These kids have no water? So one of the first projects we did was we raised about $7,000 and built them a whole water system, water tower, and just to provide the needs there. But they were also not feeding the kids. They had lost their funding, so they would feed the kids now and then. And that touched our heart also. So we started feeding the kids 5 days a week.
Yeah, we went there, and I was blown away. First time I'd ever been to a third world country. And got involved that deep into it. And when I saw them cooking on the ground, just a pot on the ground, and that was their lunch, and it was called Shema, which we would basically look at it as grits. It's kind of like grits, kind of a rough cornmeal thing. And they threw that in their plate. I think that day they had a little bit of Shema and a couple of lima beans, and that was their lunch. Oftentimes, that's the only meal they had that day. Orphans there, a lot of them orphaned because of the AIDS epidemic that was spreading through Zambia at that time. And I said, oh, this got to change. And so we raised money, built them a nice little kitchen area where they can cook. And so now those kids get fed 5 days a week there. Every day they turn school, they get fed a good lunch 5 days a week. You've been doing that for the last several years. Bob, you guys, we've got our largest group ever going to Africa on this next trip that we're going on. Tell the folks what they can kind of expect over there and what we'll be doing over there.
Well, we have 17 folks signed up to go this time, 6 from Atmosphere Church with Pastor Jim and 11 from our church. And, of course, we'll visit the kids all the time, get to pray with the kids, interact in their classrooms. They usually put on a couple of plays for us, and it's just a wonderful time there. We'll also go out to the outer villages, and we bring food and often the gospel. We'll reach out in the neighborhood. We've done all kinds of different projects, from doing teachers' conferences to pastors' conferences to even crusades in the smaller areas. And the people on the team, we get to be part of the prayer team. And God uses each one of us uniquely, and it's just wonderful. The people there have faith. You know, they don't go down, of course, nowadays, I said they don't go down to the corner store and get some aspirin. Of course, nowadays, sometimes we can't either. But anyway, they have to believe God. And so when they come up for prayer, they believe that God's going to somehow use this person that just traveled 10,000 miles to come see them. And they believe God, and God will heal them or deliver them or take care of them, and it's just wonderful to be used by God. So that's what we do on our trips, and we come away more blessed than the people that we get to pray for.
I'll never forget the first time I was there. Lusaka, Zambia, is a capital, very poor nation in Africa. The area that our school's in is a very poor area, so it's a poor neighborhood in a poor country. And driving up there, I was amazed, and I thought, my goodness, I said, they don't lack for milk in this country, because littered on the way in there. In fact, when you go into the church, it's in a compound. It's gated with barbed wire. Crime is so high over there. They have to just fence off and barbed wire off even their school over there. It's just crime is rampant over there. Poverty creates that. And so driving in, I said, all these milk cartons, said, boy, they must be getting milk from somewhere. And Bob said, no, that's not milk. What that is beer. In Zambia, they put their beer in cartons. And there's a bunch of bars that line the street into the compound. And I guess they just drink their beer when they're done in the carton, just throw it down. So poor over there. I just found out recently that our sponsorship has dropped. And that just happens here. If we don't announce it a whole lot, it drops. And so we've lost some of our sponsorships here. And as a result of that, the kids are still getting fed there 5 days a week, but it's not at the quality that we want. They're not getting a meat every day. We want to make sure they have a meat. We want to make sure they have a starch. And we make sure they have a vegetable. They're not getting a meat regularly. I said, that's got to change. And so I said, but let's talk with the folks. So here's the invite to you. It's $30 a month to sponsor Child. If you're already sponsoring Child, thank you. If you haven't yet, would you consider sponsoring a child? Bob will be available outside. We've got our ministry fair set up. You've probably been outside today and saw the booth there. For $30 a month, you can help these kids get a Christian education as well as an academic education, make sure they get a good meal 5 days a week, and that the teachers get paid so they get some good education there. And so anyway, if it touches your heart, great. Bob would be available. You can take on a child out there. So thank you so much, Bob. Last word, Bob, something you want to say?
Yeah, just, you know, the scripture tells us to give... you know, to start spreading the gospel, you know, where you're at, and then Samaria, and then it says to the ends of the earth. One of the beautiful things about spreading the good news or doing good works at the ends of the earth is that there's just no way that those people can ever pay you back. But that's a really good thing, because that means God will pay you back, because God will never be a debtor to us. So anyway, God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. Part of staying on mission is serving. In fact, to the degree that you and I serve, that we do our part, will determine where this church goes. Will we accomplish what God intends this church to accomplish? Will we fulfill the very reason that God even started this church in the first place? To the degree that we do our individual part will determine how successful we are. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Look at Acts chapter 22. We've got it up on the screen for you. Let me read this story that will illustrate what I'm talking about. Verse 6, Acts 22. But it happened that as I was on my way, approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. And I fell to the ground. This is the Apostle Paul, if you're not familiar with the Bible. This is Paul. He's still Saul, on his way to kill Christians. Not a Christian yet. He's a Christian hater. He's a Judaizer. He thinks the Christians are cults, threaten in the Jewish way of belief in God. And so he's on his way to do God's work. He's going to get these Christians and throw them in prison and kill them for trying to get in God's way. And all of a sudden, I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So a bright light flashes. A voice comes out of heaven. And the voice says, who are you? And Paul says, who are you? And he said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me, and this is, now get this, those who were with me saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. Saw the light, but didn't hear the voice. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, get up and go to Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. So Paul had an encounter with God, flash of light. God told him, hey, why are you persecuting me? Okay, Lord, I know it's you. Now what am I to do? And he says, that'll come later. And then verse 11, but since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. Here's the picture. A man of God receives a word from the Lord. And he knows what that here's my next step. My next step is I'm to go into Damascus because God has something for me. But he can't get there because he's blinded by the light. He's blind. He can't get there by himself, but he has people who haven't heard the voice but have the ability to carry out or carry the person so the vision can be fulfilled. You get what I'm saying? God has spoken to us here as leaders at Valley that he has a plan for us. He spoke to Pastor Ron years ago. In 2001, he says, start a church. Start a church. He didn't tell him where, but he said, start a church. Pastor Ron, that's part of his gifting. He has had an apostle gifting. Maybe he's still talking about starting another one. My gosh, aren't you a little bit old to be starting churches, I tell him? But he's fired up. He's like Caleb. He wants to keep going strong for the Lord. Start a church. And where? And so Ron took off, him and Debbie. Pastor Ron took off. And they went up to Boise, Idaho, thinking it was there. And it didn't feel right. Came down into Reno, and they later started a church there. Ron said, I don't think that was the Lord. Then he came through Las Vegas, based on his way home, and I don't know, maybe I missed God. And so all of a sudden they're driving, and they get to Las Vegas, and Debbie looked over at him and said, why don't you start a church in Las Vegas? I never thought of that, Pastor Ron said. Interesting. Get into a hotel, go out to get something to eat, order at the restaurant. All of a sudden somebody comes up and says to him, hey, Pastor Ron? Yeah, he goes, I heard your voice. I'll never forget that voice. I used to attend your church years ago. Oh, Pastor Ron, he said, oh, it's so good to see you. He said, I cannot find a church here. Please, Pastor Ron, come to Las Vegas and start a church. Please come here. Pastor Ron said, you're not going to believe what God just did. God used you. And that was confirmation. And he came here. God spoke to one man, start a church here in Las Vegas. And he did. And then Pastor Ron later passed the baton to Pastor Jim. Pastor Ron started the church. Pastor Jim grew the church. Pastor Jim was the pastor that built this thing here and set all the infrastructure in place. He built this thing. And then Pastor Doug came along and Miss Vicky, and what we do, we just kind of maintain things. We're just like the city force. We just kind of keep all the wheels greased up, keep the train on the track. We had a part, but guess what? Guess who has actually carried out the vision? You. You have carried the vision. We've laid out. God's called us to Las Vegas. We have a certain style of church here. We have a certain way of following God here. It's not better. It's not worse than anybody else. It's just us. It's who we are as Valley Bible Fellowship, Valley Vegas. It's just our style. But if we're going to affect what we think God wants to affect here in the city for people who would find our church to their liking, you will have to carry it out, and you have been carrying it out. And to the degree that you carry out and use your spiritual gifting to serve and to be a part of this church in the city will determine how much we accomplish. The very reason that God called us to be a church in the first place. The very reason, it's dependent on you and I. See, the Bible says in 1 Peter, where is it at? 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every single person here who is a Christian, who the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you have a spiritual gift. That is something that you weren't born with, different than a talent. A gift is something that the Holy Spirit gives. It's a spiritual endowment that allows you to help other people. A spiritual gift is given to you to help other people in their faith. It's not for you personally. That's the gift is to help other people. So you have a spiritual gift. Those gifts are listed in 1 Corinthians, or listed in 1 Peter, Romans, or the list of spiritual gifts. Just Google what are the spiritual gifts in the Bible, and you can take a look at what all those are. But you have one or more of those gifts. And we're to use those gifts in the church in serving and volunteering to help other people grow. Not everybody has the same gift, but everybody has a gift. Everybody has something that they can use. So we know that we're to serve and volunteer, but let's look at the why of this. Why are we to serve? And that's where I want to end our time with today. Why serve? Well, here's the first reason. Serving others, it follows in the footsteps of Jesus. It follows in his footsteps. If we're trying to be like our Lord, the Bible says, be imitators of me, Paul says, even as I imitate Christ. If we're to be followers of Christ, then we should be doing the things that he's doing. And what did he do? He served when he was here. Look at Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for others. You have to get this, okay? If not, then you'll miss it. Jesus says, I came to serve others. I came to give my life as a ransom. That's what I'm to do. And we think, well, yeah, that's easy. You're God. Yeah, easy for God to serve. Easy. And we take a look at Jesus and we see him waking up in the morning. Everybody's coming to him. Lines, prayer lines, you know, going all the way out and praying for people. You that have ministered, you know how tiring it is to minister to people. First of all, just to listen to them, to listen to problems and to listen to issues, it takes a lot of energy, a lot of attention. And doing that, you know, all day Jesus would do it. And you would think, man, if anybody deserves a good night's sleep, it's this guy. But now you might understand why. You see in the Bible, and it says after a full day of ministry, Jesus would go up to a mountain oftentimes and pray all night to the Father. Think, what's he doing? Man, pray when you wake up. You need some sleep, man. You've been ministering all day. But Jesus knew, said, no, I need to connect with God right now more than I need sleep. Why? Well, let me read to you a post this morning from my son that explains why Jesus thought it was more important oftentimes to spend time all night in prayer than with my Father. My son wrote this morning. I said, this is perfect. This illustrates exactly what I'm trying to communicate. Here's what my son wrote this morning. My absolute favorite part of walking with God is perspective change. It's the wildest thing. It never ceases to amaze me. It's like a spiritual magic trick. When I wake up, before I get into my Bible in the presence of God each morning, he says, I begin to have all these thoughts. Thoughts of irritation. I'm going to put a cough drop in. What's more irritating, me sucking on this cough drop or coughing? We'll find out which. I'll try not to slurp this thing too much. Irritations, agitations, selfish wants for the day, self-advancement plans, ideas that benefit me and me only. He goes, then I start listening to worship music. And I open the Word of God. And those thoughts start to disappear. My focus literally starts shifting. More becomes less. Others become first. I descend into greatness by not elevating myself. Thoughts and ideas of generosity toward others start coming into my mind. I begin to realize it's not about me. I start looking for opportunities to serve and to meet the needs of others. I think we look at Jesus, our example, our model, and say, man, it's easy for him. He was God. But remember the kenosis doctrine in Philippians. Jesus didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself and humbled himself, becoming a man. That's why the Holy Spirit came upon him. He had to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit when he's here on earth, because he operated as a man. He was still God, but he operated as a man here. So Jesus, if he was going to model for us and do the things that he did, he had to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why he had to sometimes say, I need God more than I need sleep. God, if you don't come, and if you don't fill me, and if I don't connect with you, if I don't worship you, if I don't get my word, if I don't get your perspective and have my mind changed, there's no way that I can give these people, because I'll just be about me. I hate people right now. I'm tired of people. I don't want to see anybody else. So ring a bell. So if you're going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, you have to realize it does not come naturally for you to serve other people. It does not come naturally not to think about yourself exclusively. You have to get in touch with God. You have to connect with God. So all of a sudden you can think, now I can be outward focused. Now I can think of others. It's so key. That's why we have to connect with God each day, each and every day. Secondly, I'm all, there we are. Serving others, it enriches your life. It enriches your life. We don't serve to get back, but as a result of serving, you do get back. Acts 20:35 says, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. It's a mistake. I see it happening all the time. I hope it doesn't happen to any of you here. I see people gearing their life towards retirement as if that's the pot of gold at the end of rainbow, at the end of the rainbow. Oh, man, I'm just enduring. Oh, man, I just can't wait till I retire. Oh, I'm just going to, man, when I retire, man, I'm just going to just sit and do nothing. Get me a big old rock around the porch and just rock. I've earned this. Do nothing. Golf maybe a little bit. You know, get a little lap dog and walk or whatever. I'm just going to just relax, man. This is my time. And they gear their whole life towards that. And they get there, and all of a sudden they say, oh, I finally reached it. And they retire, and all of a sudden, instead of it enhancing their life begins to go down. Why? Because now they're bored. Now they've lost purpose. Now they begin to get grouchy and cynical and crabby and yell at their wife in the grocery store because she's bought a red bell pepper instead of a green bell pepper, and it becomes huge now because that's all he's got going on. Nothing else happened in his life, so the grocery store becomes everything, and the right bell peppers is paramount to everything, and their world gets really small. Get small world because they're not doing anything. But this is what they work for. Unhappy, unfulfilled. But then you take a look around at some of the folks in our church, Tai Chu here and Sharon, and some of the others that are in this church have retired. They've retired, but they're not idle. They're as busy now serving the Lord and doing things than they were when they were working vocationally. And you take a look at their face, and there's a smile on their face. There's a sense of fulfillment. They got a sense of purpose and stuff. Why? Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Why do we want you serving here? Because it's the best thing for you. For some of you, the whole reason that you came today is to hear this truth. Why is your life not what you want it to be? Why are you so unhappy? Why can't you find fulfillment? Why the more that you get, the less happy you are? Because you're living just for you exclusively. That will never bring happiness. It'll never bring fulfillment. It will never do it. You'll only get fulfillment when you have a nice balance of, yes, taking care of your needs, but also making sure other people's needs are met too. You got to find that balance. You're off kilter. You're imbalanced. You got to get some balance back into your life. Begin to serve, and you'll have that opportunity to do that today. And then lastly, serving others enriches their life. The people that you serve, their life is enriched as well. Romans 15:1 says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Again, balance. It's okay to think of your needs. Yes, go out and buy some extra rolls of toilet paper if you can find it. Buy some extra rice and beans. You'll need that toilet paper if you buy a bunch of rice and beans. No. Gross. It's okay to think about your needs, but just don't think of them exclusively. Be thinking of others as well. I want to show you. In fact, I didn't show you the video from the last point, but let me just show you this real fast. These aren't long videos about serving others enriches your life. Some of the happiest people are people that you don't even know serve here. That's our Levite team. Our Levites come down early in the morning on a Sunday before anybody's here. They clean the church. They get everything set up and prepared so you can come here and have a good experience. And these are some of the most happiest people. And so we wanted to show you. We did a little video on them and show you the benefit to your life by serving. Take a peek. Thank you. serving helps others as well. We started a food giveaway years ago. Mike Goeth, part of our church, had a heart to give some food away. And I said, go for it, Mike. And so they talked with the local food bank here in town and put together some bags and made some announcements in the neighborhood here. And I think two or three people showed up. And they had like 10 bags left over the first day they did. And they loaded them up in a truck and went around the neighborhood literally saying, hey, who needs food? Who needs food? And they were handing it out. Now, fast forward to today, every Saturday, we will give away literally between 2 and 4 tons of food. And if you come down here, if you've never seen it, it's really a sight to be seen. People will begin to line up at 8 o'clock, sometimes 7 o'clock in the morning, and the line will start from the back of the church towards the back of the warehouse, and it will extend literally all the way out to Oroville Street, the line of people in line to get the food. And those people are so thankful of our people serving. In fact, I asked Jeff Miller, I said, go capture some of those people's response. I know that they're thankful for the people who give their time to that. And so we captured some of the people who are receiving the benefit of you serving. We captured them on video. Take a peek at this. So here's my encouragement to those of you who have not yet joined us on the serve team here at Valley Vegas Church. You can do that today. We have a table set up in the breezeway for our little ministry fair out there. There are some areas that you can serve in. If there's not an area that you can serve in out there, let us know. We understand people have different schedules. Days off are different. You only have certain time things. We'll find something for you. If nothing out there is works for you, just let us know here in church. Say, hey, I want to serve. I just don't know where it can be. We'll get you plugged in somewhere. But stop by there today and just pray, maybe pray on the way out and see where you can join us if you're not a part of our serve team yet. Again, we want you doing your ABCs. We want you to attend church regularly. We want you to get in a small group. We want you to commit and join our volunteer team here. We think that's the best thing for you, okay? That's our job as pastors, okay? All right, prayer team, come on up here if you would and get yourself ready to go. Let's pray this. Father, Lord, I thank you so much, God, that we have a church full of servants, God. I think we probably have a higher rate of people serving in our church than maybe any church in the city just because these folks are just so giving and generous, God. But Lord, I just pray you talk to anybody here yet who's not, God, to stir their hearts, direct them on where they can serve and give. And God, it will bless their lives, but also, God, it'll bless the lives of those that they serve, God. And ultimately, that's what you'd want to do, Jesus. That's what you did. You came to serve others, and we're to follow in your footsteps. If you're here today, you don't know the Lord, just come on up and just pray with someone. You can receive the Lord right where you sit. Say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Be my Savior. I turn from the way I've been living today. Come inside of me, Holy Spirit, and cause me to be born again. And if you need prayer, come up, see the folks. I'll pray with you. Other than that, God bless you. Look up. Have a great rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next time we get together. Take care.